And I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. We've been here for a little while here. But, you know, you got to remember, too, that if we're serious about the things of God, you know, we don't want to just hurry through things. As you might have heard me say before, you know, sermonettes create Christianettes. We want better than Christianettes. Amen? We want to be solid, unshakable, immovable believers in Jesus Christ, because we're living in a day when the world, as I said, has gone crazy. There's a lot of opposition out there, a lot of things out there, a lot of persecution all over the world and increasing here in our nation as well. But we are not of those who draw back. We are of those who are going to stand strong. And we're going to love people. We're going to help people as God enables us. But we're going to also stand strong for Jesus Christ and the message that he's given us. We've got the best message that the world has ever heard. And that's the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. That though he was and is God Almighty, he came to earth as a man. And as a man, the perfect man, the sinless man, he bore the penalty for you and me. He bore the penalty for sin that you and I deserve, because we're all those that have broke the law of God. You've broken God's law. I've broken God's law. We have failed in so many ways because of a fallen nature that we inherited. We have broken God's law. But aren't you glad that God loved us so much that he, God, came down and took upon himself, clothed himself in flesh, and took your penalty and my penalty, the judgment we all deserved, in order so that if we receive what he did for us, we'll be forgiven. Isn't that great news? Amen? By the grace of Almighty God. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can only receive the salvation, the deliverance, the forgiveness. You can only receive it by faith in the grace of Almighty God. That's the good news. Amen? The bad news is we're lost without him. The bad news is we deserve punishment and judgment. But the good news is God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to bear that judgment for us on our behalf as the perfect man, though he was God, in order so that we could be forgiven. Aren't you glad for forgiveness today? Amen? Amen. I'm glad for forgiveness today. Now, I'm just going to share and review a little bit. Last week, we began a series entitled, We're Better Together. How many of you know we are better together, right? In a world that is separating people. Really, the world wants to separate people and get people fighting against each other and what have you, and even families, you know, and all that kind of thing. But you and I, as believers in Christ, our God has really called us to be unified as long as we don't compromise in order to be unified. Amen? We never compromise truth for the sake of some sort of unity. And so we always stand on truth first. Truth comes first before anything else. But in that truth, as we have determined that we're going to live by the Word of God, and the Word of God is the inspired Word for you and I today, inspired by the Spirit of God for those who wrote it, as long as we go with the Word of God, we ought to be unified by the Word of God. Amen? Now, I shared with you from Hebrews 10:19-25 last week, and I'm going to give this to you again, just by way of review, but so important. I'll probably build on that as well, because as my reviews go, I review, but I add some, right? But here is from the New Living Translation of Hebrews 10:19-25. The writer to Hebrews, these Jewish believers, said this, and it applies to you and me. He said, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." If you were with us, you know. But for those of you that don't know, or maybe you need a reminder, when it talks about the holy place, it's talking about the presence of God, experiencing the presence of God in our lives. See, what we're talking about here is we're not talking about religion. How many of you know it's religious people that really were the force behind Jesus going to the cross? Isn't that right? How many of you know religion is not what this is about? It's not about religion. This is about a relationship with a living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he goes and says to them that we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. His blood, his sacrifice, his pure blood shed for us for the remission of our sins so that we might receive forgiveness now enables us to experience God's presence in our lives. When it talks about the most holy place, it's referring to God's presence from the Old Testament, but he is writing to Hebrew believers, and so they understood this. They understood what he meant when he wrote holy place, most holy place, the holiest, some of your translations may say. It's referring to experiencing the presence of God. You see, without his presence, it's just religion, isn't it? But thank God we've experienced His presence. If we've accepted Christ as Lord, He lives within us. Our lives have been changed. We may look the same on the outside, but thank God on the inside, He's changed us immediately the moment we received Him as our Lord and Savior. Are you alive and well this morning? Amen. We ought to get excited about what He's done for us. I remember many years ago, over 40 years ago, I received, and 50 years ago, I accepted Christ. And 45 years ago, I had an encounter with Jesus that changed my life really forever in so many ways. An encounter with Christ that showed or revealed to me the reality of Christ like never before. He is real, He is alive, and He changes lives, doesn't He? Amen. I was going my own way. But how many of you know He intercepted me, and He intercepted most, if not all of you as well. Aren't you glad for the fact that He intercepted your life in order so that your life might be what He desires for your life, which is always a good life. He wants you to have a good life. He wants goodness and mercy, as Psalm 23 says, to follow us all the days of our life. Does not mean there won't be problems. Does not mean there won't be situations and challenges and mountains and all that kind and giants. But it does mean that in the midst of the trouble, praise God, we put our trust in Him and He'll see us through. Amen? He'll see us through. And so as it reads on in this, it says, I'll start from the beginning because I didn't get far anyway. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And that curtain refers to the veil that separated two portions of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. And that veil, when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, that veil in the temple of that day was ripped into, signifying the way into His presence is now open. And so it goes on, and it says, as we read further into this, it says, the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest, and who is that high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. How many of you are clean this morning because you've received by faith what Jesus has done for you? You may not feel clean. You may be feeling guilty this morning. And you know, the only time you ought to feel guilty is if you are guilty. But how many of you know that in Christ you can ask forgiveness and He'll wash you even after having received Him? Isn't that right? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, and He's writing to believers there, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that forgiveness? Amen. And so it talks about the fact that you've been sprinkled. Christ's blood has made us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Going on, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways. Now, notice this last part. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. I wanted to point out this last part. Obviously, last time we talked about the fact that, again, as our title is, we're better together. It says that we're to motivate one another in acts of love. Each of us, you know, we kind of encourage. We're supposed to encourage one another in our walk with Christ. That's one of the reasons we are meeting together. He says, and let us not neglect the meeting together. This is something we're doing even this morning because it's the God thing to do. We're not meeting here this morning because it's the tradition of the church to gather together and go through some kind of rituals. As you probably noticed, we don't have a lot of ritual. We just follow, you know, the word the best we know how. You didn't get a bulletin with a lineup of what we're going to do this morning because we don't know for sure what's going to happen. Isn't that right? I mean, we don't have that lineup because of the fact that, you know, we know the Spirit of God. We want Him to guide us in the service. He wants to guide us in the preparation for the service, yes. But we always want to be open to what the Spirit of God may want us to do in any particular time as well. So He says, don't neglect our meeting together, as some people do. Now, I'm speaking to people here this morning who have met together. But you know what? You know what? The temptation may come. In fact, the implication is, I see it in this passage, that the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the more people are going to be tempted not to meet together with fellow believers. That's why He says, especially now, in that last phrase, especially now, we ought to be meeting together, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. If it was drawing near then, it's certainly drawing near now, isn't it? And you know, when you look at the signs of the times, when you look at the things that are happening around us, we must come to the conclusion that we seem to be experiencing the last of the last days before Jesus returns. Now remember, last days is not a negative for the Christian. It's not a negative, it's a positive. You know, last days sounds terrifying to people that don't understand what we're talking about. So last days just simply means last days as we know it, because better days are on the way. Amen? You understand what I'm saying, right? Because he's coming again. I want you to turn. I wasn't planning this, but I want you to turn before I go any further. And we'll stop probably in just a few moments here. But turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, if you would. If you don't have it, if you don't have a Bible or a Bible app, maybe if you smile real nice at your neighbor, they'll let you look on. Hopefully they've got a Bible or a Bible app. But 1 Thessalonians, and I just want to share a few scriptures here, because again, it says, especially we meet together as we see his return drawing near. I want you to know Jesus is coming back again. And by the signs of the times, I don't think it's going to be long. Now, I don't know. I don't know that. And be always cautious of those that that predict a particular time for him to come. But we ought to always be ready. Is everybody okay here this morning? Always be ready. But you know, Jesus said in another place. Now, you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But Jesus said in another place, he said this, that as in the days of Noah, so shall be the day of the coming of the Lord. That's paraphrased, but that's in essence. As in the days of Noah. Now, if we went back to Genesis chapter 6 and read about the days of Noah, it talked about how every imagination of a man's heart was evil continually. And so there was a great amount of evil in the minds and hearts of people. They were a corrupt people. They were a sinful people. They were a law-breaking people. They were an evil people. They were a violent people. Are you following what I'm saying? And Jesus said that as in those days, so shall the days be at the coming of the Lord. It's going to be a lawless time. It's going to be a lawless time. Now, Matthew 24 talks about lawlessness. And even 1 Thessalonians talks about lawlessness. And so the idea is, and when you think about it, how many of you would agree with me that there is an increase of lawlessness going on in our nation and throughout this world? I mean, now the lawbreaker is not being punished like he once was, if at all. The lawbreaker many times is being set free. Sometimes now we even find the lawbreaker is the one celebrated, whereas the ones who want the laws to be intact are the ones that are the, supposedly, they are the bad ones. Are you hear what I'm saying? And so the lawless one, the lawlessness that was to be predicted at the coming of the Lord, we're seeing this increasing in fairly, you know, recent times, and just exponentially, we see lawlessness growing in our nation and throughout the world. Does everybody follow me here today? Now you say, oh, Pastor, I came here to be encouraged, not discouraged. Now, I don't want you to be discouraged, because let me tell you something. With that lawlessness tells us Jesus is coming soon. Are you following me here? Now, again, I don't know if it's going to be in our generation. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime or your lifetime, but I know one thing. It looks like the signs of the times. Now, we could have a great major revival, a great spiritual awakening, and set all that lawlessness back for a time again. Isn't that right? You follow what I'm saying to you? And we want to have a great awakening. We want to have a harvest of people coming to the kingdom of God. I don't know exactly, and no one knows when he's coming again, but we ought to always be ready in our own hearts. And he said, occupy until I come. That means we're to stay busy. We're to continue to do what we can to bring others into the kingdom of God. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice what it says, beginning with verse 13. If you're there, say yes. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now that's an expression in the New Testament for those who died already physically. For those who have fallen asleep. See, now he's speaking about believers, and that's the other issue with this. Fallen asleep denotes the idea that they will be awakened again. Isn't that right? When you're asleep, you're going to eventually awaken again. And so this expression of fallen asleep regarding those who have died in Christ tells us, or really implies at least to us, that they will be awakened again. How many of you know, for those that have known Christ that have died already physically, they are in the presence of the Lord right now, but there is coming a resurrection, isn't there? Six of you know that that's true, but I'll tell you it's true. We're going to read about it in just a moment here. Notice what it says. It says this, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. How many of you know, as Pam mentioned, a lot of the children out there are hopeless in so many ways, and even adults are hopeless in so many ways, because whenever you don't have God, there's hopelessness. There's hopelessness. And you know, our children are being taught things that devalue them. I was so appreciative of that which was shared about the value of children and how precious they are, because it seems like the messaging out there is so anti-value for children. You know, you're not of any value. You've got to change the way you are. You got to change your gender. You got to change this, or you got to look at things differently because you don't have any value. Why? Well, I'll tell you one reason why is because this idea of Darwinian evolution has impacted people's minds so much that now all we are is a bunch of, evolved animals. And so, you know, what value do we have above other animals is the mindset of many people. Isn't that right? The mindset of many of these activists who have the idea that we're of no value. In fact, we ought to sacrifice ourselves so that other species might live and survive because we are lesser value or equal value with them. But the Bible says, everybody say, the Bible says. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, talking to the disciple, he said to them, he said, you are of more value than the very sparrows. You're of more value than they are. So if God clothes them and feeds them, don't you know he's going to clothe and feed you, O ye of little faith, because you are more valuable than the sparrows and any other living beings. God has made humanity special. Now, we may have a fallen state. We may not be what we once were, but we are created in his image and his likeness. And there is a part of humanity that is so far exceeding any other in the animal life, of any of the animal life. We are special because we're created in God's image and God's likeness, and he gave us rule over this earth. And unfortunately, humanity has not ruled well, have they? Is everybody okay here this morning? But he says this now. He says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. How many of you believe that today? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And so he's saying, Jesus rose again. He died and rose again. So those who knew Jesus, they're going to rise again also, right? And verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Now that could be our time. We might be alive and remain at his coming. And so those that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. And he's talking about this idea, all right, those that are asleep, those who have died, before us and are that new Christ, they're going to come, they're going to pick up their bodies, their bodies will be resurrected. And the Bible goes on and says something happens to we who are alive and remain. Notice what it says in verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, now I'll pause there for a moment. Why will they rise first? Because many of them are 6 foot under, so they got to get a head start. For the Lord himself, again, will descend from heaven. Verse 17, then we who are alive at the coming of the Lord and remain shall be caught up. Everybody say, caught up. Together with them. Who's them? Them are those that have died ahead but are resurrected. We'll be caught up together. And so when we talk about we're better together here, and we're going to be certainly better together then. Isn't that right? We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, my time is up. I didn't even touch my notes hardly. But I just want to say to you today that no matter what's happening out there, no matter what the world is doing, I want you to know there are better days ahead, one way or the other. Amen? And I want to encourage you to be committed, be determined, be immovable, be unshakable in the day in which we live. I know it's tempting in many respects because of things happening. And you know, I would never say to you that everything's going to be a bed of roses. Just remember, roses do have thorns, though. I don't know where that saying came from. But not everything is going to be all good all the time. But you know what? When you have the Lord in your life. You can experience in the most tumultuous times, you can experience a supernatural peace because we have the Prince of Peace in our life. Amen. In the most terrible times, we can trust God knowing that we are here for such a time as this, and being that He knew we'd be here, as our lives are committed to Him, as we're trusting in His Word, as we're excited and letting the Spirit of God move in our lives, nothing's going to move us. We're going to stand strong because God's got a plan. He's got a plan for you today. He's got a plan for me today. He's got a plan for us together today. Because we're better together, we'll accomplish whatever God's plan and whatever God's purpose is for our lives. Amen? Amen. I've said enough. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We thank You that we are indeed better together. We thank You, Father God, that as the body of Christ, we will by faith accomplish everything that You desire for us to accomplish as a local assembly, as a local congregation, Father God. We have a part to play. We're not everything. We're not every part, but we together are a part to play in order to be in this place, in this capital region, Father God, to minister, to be a light shining, to be the salt of the earth, Father God, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And we do so knowing that the day is drawing near, that the day of the Lord is drawing near, Lord God, where we will ever be with You and we'll enter into an eternity that is full of excitement and full of things that we are right now not even able to imagine with our finite minds, Lord God. We thank You for all that You have for us in Jesus' name. Now let's all remain in an attitude of reverence toward God here this morning, if you would. And we never want to end a service without presenting this to you. If you're here today, you've heard me speak about the fact that Jesus, God, became man. He clothed Himself in flesh out of His love for us, out of God's love for you. He came down, took upon Himself flesh, in all of His perfection, the perfect God, the perfect man, so that as the sinless one, He would bear the penalty for those who are full of sin, that have broken God's law. A regular man, a common man, would not have been able to do this for all of humanity, but He was more than that. He was the God-man. And as the God-man, the sinless one, He could bear the penalty for you, for me, and for all human beings throughout eternity. But we all have to make a choice. Will we receive what He's done for us? The Bible says you've sinned. The Bible says everybody has sinned. The Bible says we've all broken God's law. I've broken God's law. I deserve hell. And so do you. Each and every one of you deserve hell. But the good news says we don't have to receive hell. The good news says that God made a way for us to be forgiven. By the grace of Almighty God, we can be in right standing with Him when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so we believe in our heart that He died, that He rose again from the dead, and we make Him the Lord of our lives. We turn our back on our own way. We turn our back on all that is against God, and we say, God, here's my life. I give my life to You. And as I shared earlier briefly, 50 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus, and it changed my life forever. And I know there's many here today whose lives have been changed because Jesus is not just some historical religious figure. He's a living Savior that wants to save you, deliver you, give you a life worth living. And so lest there be one, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to force you to come up or anything like that. But with everyone in an attitude of prayer, if you're here and you know you need to receive Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. If you just lift your hand so I see it, it's your way of saying, you know I need God in my life. I know I need Jesus Christ in my life. Anybody at all, we never want to end a service without this opportunity given, lest there be even one here today you've never received Christ. Maybe you have received Him and you've been away from Him. You've been what they call backslidden or a prodigal son or daughter. And you know you need to get right with God. You went your own way even after having received Him, maybe even years ago or a month ago or whatever. After receiving Him, you've gone your own way. You've been away from God, but you need to be reconciled to God again. You know you need to come to Him again like that prodigal son did. He was still a son to the father, but he realized he'd gone astray. if you've gone astray and you need to reconcile with God and you want to do that today, if you'd lift your hand, we'll make sure that we pray for you as well. Anybody at all? All right, I'm not seeing any hands for either invitation, but we're going to pray this prayer because there'll be some that are watching later on. And so if you agree with this prayer, let's just support those that might pray. And then maybe you should have raised your hand and you should pray this as well. But this is based on Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's pray this prayer. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me as my substitute. He stood in for me and took the judgment, the punishment that I deserved so I could receive forgiveness from God. And so today, I confess and I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I give my life to you, Lord. I turn from sin and I turn to you. Take my life and make it what you will. I believe with all my heart that you not only died, but you rose again. And you're alive, so come live in me. And by faith, from this day forward, with your help, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Let's give God thanks for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.